Podcast homies, this is an interview I did with a woman named Kayla Barrera, and we're going to talk about traveling today, as you can hint at with the title of this episode, Why Traveling Matters. And we're going to just go into the, just some of the misconceptions, some of the limiting beliefs, how you can travel. We're actually going to give you an activity to set a date where you can go and create, I don't know if I want to call it a vacation, but we'll just call it traveling, exploring, something that I think is missing in many humans' lives. And it's something that we'll talk more about it in the interview, but I just feel like it's something that really helps us understand and see life from a different perspective. When we change our physical reality, something within us changes as well. And I think that's what you're going to get from this episode. So enjoy. Please be sure to connect with Kayla on social. It's in the show notes. And have a great rest of the day. Enjoy. Kayla Barrera, my friend, welcome to the Just.
Hi. So excited to be here. This is so
cool. Yeah. Podcast time. I love interviewing people, but usually when I interview people, it's like I don't really know them and I get to know them. But I want everyone listening to know that I do know you. We went to freaking high school together.
High school. The good old days, right?
Right. I was asking you before the show if like you had went to the 10-year reunion, but you had reminded me that it's been well over 10 years since we graduated.
Yes, a sad reminder, but it's happened.
It's crazy.
Fast, so fast.
I know. And like I haven't spoken to you since high school, but then online, because that's where you find people and reconnect with them nowadays. And right. Saw you're doing like a bunch of cool stuff, reached out to you, and I was like, can I interview you? And you were like, yeah, we set up.
Yes.
Here we are.
Love it. Here we are. It's a really fun way to kind of, you know, reconnect with people that you've known from the past and see what everybody's up to.
Isn't that cool? Like you and I can have a conversation about something we could have had on the phone, but our conversation gets transmitted to a bunch of other people that relate to it. Mm-hmm.
That's great. And that's what I'm here for. And thank you for having me.
No doubt. Well, I think you did really cool things. And the thing that stood out to me the most initially was how much you travel and like see the world. And I think you told me like in one of your comments, like traveling is like life. Like this is it. Like I move around.
It's a priority for me.
It's a priority, right? It's
something that I put at the top of my list.
Let's start there. Like, when did that happen? Because most people traveling is like a luxury. Like, it's like something to get away from life. And not everyone can just like travel the world, you know? Like, this is something we got to plan for like 6 months in advance. So,
yeah.
What's happening to you? Like, this whole
thing? So, I think traveling has always been a part of me. My family, luckily, like, they were able to take my brother and I on trips. But, like you mentioned, it was maybe once a year. Maybe every 2 years. It wasn't something that was constant, but every time we did go, it was kind of, you know, a reset and everybody just came back happier. And, you know, so when I was little, I definitely saw that as an opportunity and something that I really wanted to make a priority. My dog is next to me. Basically I need to tell her to stop. MJ, stop, please. My little dog, my rescue. So essentially when I was getting older and I started kind of making money and working in different industries, I saw that a lot of my colleagues and bosses, they wouldn't go on vacation and everybody was just miserable, not even a 2-day vacation. And I said, that is not me. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to be run down. I don't want to be burnt out. I need to have these mental breaks because at the end of the day, your experiences actually help you with your day-to-day. So if you are in a constant you know, work environment, only focusing on one thing, you're going to fall flat. Like, you're not going to really grow that much unless you take yourself out of these comfort zones and really push yourself out there and just travel. One of the other big things that made me realize this should be a priority is a lot of people don't travel on by themselves. They have to wait for someone to go with them.
Yeah.
They are scared. They don't know what to do. It's just very intimidating. And one thing that I said, I was like, I am not waiting for anyone. I cannot, because at the end of the day, if I wait for a person to go with me, I might never go. And it might be 5 days instead of a 2 week trip and somewhere overseas, you know, not just, you know, up to the beach for a staycation. So I definitely have put my, you know, my priority list, and travel is on the top of it, because it's the only way that I can kind of reset and reconnect with myself and meet new people and just get influences from all over the world.
Got it. So what I'm hearing is, like, you traveling is a priority, but something that you felt it like bubbling in you, like, I need to do this more. And you set out on a journey to become more of a traveler, or to, like, incorporate it into your normal work life, or do you work and travel? Like, you get me? Like, how does someone listening now, I'm trying to imagine, like, all right, what, I got a job, like, I get 2 weeks a year. Like, what do you, like, how do I do this? So what would you, is there, how does this go down?
So definitely I'm very creative with how I take my time off from work. I am blessed to work for a company that does give me quite a bit of time. Currently I have, I think, 35 days of vacation, plus the holidays that we get, which I think is about 11 or 12. So in all, you know, I do have quite a bit of vacation. So definitely that is different from the norm. But I would say that if anybody just has a week or two, don't stay home. Make sure you maximize it. Talk to your employer and see if, even if, you know, they can, you can extend it for two more days, things like that. And now with the work from home flexibility, if you ever need to log on, you kind of can anywhere. I try not to take work with me when I travel, but there's been times, you know, if, especially if you love your job, you can just log on, answer an email or two. If there's a crisis, you can do it from anywhere in the world now. So, but for me, I definitely travel and make sure I leave work at home. But also traveling has kind of become my work life too. Since I do so many trips, people are always asking me for suggestions. Where should I book? Where should I go? If I have the X amount of days, I saw that you just did a whole Thailand trip for 10 days. Like, how'd you do that? Things like that. So I've actually created that into a little mini business, just because, you know, all of my travels have really become something that people are interested in. So I just,
I think the route I want to go with this episode for those listening is, like, why traveling matters. I want to go that route, and, like, that's where I feel like the heartbeat is behind you. Cause you're not, some people, like, their job is to travel, right? You're not doing that.
I'm not doing that.
But traveling is still a priority.
Absolutely.
Like, this is something that other people, though they might not be able to do it to your extent, can some of the principles we're going to talk about and apply them into their regular life. Because, like, for most of us, Kayla, it's like traveling, it's like, it's a lot of work. And it's like, and then here's the big one comes up. And you know what it is. Well, there's two.
Yeah.
I have the time and I don't have the money, right? But we still want to do it. But these are obstacles that come in. So did you face that early on?
I did. I did face that early on because I was very nervous. I've always been someone that was a saver. Just everything that I do, I do try to position myself in a good financial situation. So, but everybody's like, how do you manage to do all these travels? And I was like, well, cause I'm not staying at the five-star resort. I spend my money basically, like, let's say if I go to Asia, I'll spend the money on the flight. But when you get there, if you do your research, for every dollar in Thailand, you get 31 of theirs, and a meal maybe costs you 40 of theirs. So that's $1.10. So you're telling me you can't go to Thailand? Yeah. Pay your flight. that's the bulk of the money. But when you're there, all the experiences are basically free because you're there. The people, the energy. So you just kind of figure it out. If you do the research, you'll end up realizing that it's not that expensive to go to certain places. Obviously there are certain like places like in Europe, for instance, that it is expensive to be there just because of the different rates, but you could do it. And one of the big things that I started doing because I was on a budget was I was doing these group trips. And these group trips, you go alone, you get paired up with other people who are traveling alone. They cover everything from transportations, your tours, your hotels, your food, and it's one price and you just pay it and you don't have to think about anything else. And they take care of you. And I highly suggest that for anybody that's looking into just going and meeting new people and traveling, because that's where you kind of get into a situation that you might be out of your comfort zone, which is really important because you don't grow unless you're put into a situation that you've never been in. So
this is the other side of traveling that I like, right? Because you have the obstacles, right? Like the time, the money, like all that. Then you have like the stretching as a human that you go when you travel. Like to get back, like when you think about like before jobs and the idea of money was created, what did we do as humans? We like roam the earth, like we moved around.
Like, we're explorers.
It was an explorer, it was an adventure. Mm-hmm. Hunter-gatherer, it was like move around. And as we became more civilized, then it was like stay in the same place and like build your family or whatever. And then as more and more years go by, it's like you travel less because you have everything here already.
Right.
But then you start missing like these primal instincts of like seeing new things.
Mm-hmm.
What does it do to the human psyche and to the heart even when we travel? Like what have you experienced in your life before traveling that you're experiencing now? It's different.
Yeah, I definitely think that before I started traveling the way that I do, I always felt this kind of feeling of just being stuck. Routine. I love routine. I'm a very routine person on my day to day, but sometimes you have to shake it up. And I was missing things that would excite me. Nothing excited me because it was just the same. So when I do travel, for me, it's like it opens my mind. It's like if someone literally just like opened my brain and was just like, look at everything. And you can kind of have like a sixth sense of like all of these different cultures and, you know, foods and people. And I'm a big believer that the people you run into and you meet on your travels, their story is going to impact you in some way. And you sharing your story impacts them. So all of a sudden you have this connection that you would have never had because you didn't go to this random hut in, I don't know where. You know, everybody has a special story. Everybody has, you know, they're in different places of their lives and it's just interesting. And I think the more you talk to people, the more you experience, it just helps you become better. It just helps you overall, I think, from your life. You kind of see things differently. You don't take things for granted. It's great.
Do you feel like you've become more open and less judgmental as a person since you've traveled?
Oh, 100%.
I feel like that's what I've gained the most is like, I become less judgmental the more I see.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely, so I came so before I started traveling a lot, I was in a pretty materialistic world in the sense that I worked for a fashion magazine, entertainment magazine, and everything was just beautiful. You know, you had the nice clothes, the nice models, actors, actresses, everything was just so always on point, beautiful. And you kind of start believing that that is life. And that's just a tiny little piece of life that we call media, right? Yeah. So when you do take yourself out of those situations and you actually experience what beauty really is per se, you know, from different cultures and what a culture will think is beautiful, it's just mind-blowing to me, you know. It's really special. And I think that if you don't do it, you won't experience it. And there's a lot of people that just don't like traveling, and that's fine.
People
are stuck in their ways, which is fine. That's up to them, to each their own. But if you're someone that does have that little itch,
that's a great way to put it, because I don't certainly want to come across like traveling is the way for you to become a better human, and that's the only way, right? Because there's people that have lived great lives and only stayed in the same town.
Sure. You
know, like, it's not for everyone, but like, I think what you're saying is like, when there's a curiosity, follow it, right? So if you like, damn, I'm in this rat race, like, I do like my job, but like, I just feel like I'm stuck in a routine and I want to switch it up a little bit. How would you advise somebody to like follow that itch? Is it like, cause me, I've done this before. I'm like, yo, like I'm leaving. Like, and then that morning I'll just book a flight. And I've talked about that on the show before, but I don't want to be like that anymore. You know, how do you go about planning these things?
So honestly, you know, since we're having this conversation in January at the start of the new year, I always kind of write my goals down. And part of my goals is a travel goal. And okay. I look at all the days that I have off, right? And then I say, okay, where does my mind and soul want to go this year? Right. So I kind of pre-plan and think about and kind of manifest it. I might say something so crazy that I know I might not be able to do it this year just because of life. Cause I know life happens. I'm not just here traveling the world all day.
Yeah.
I do have a job. I have a lot of responsibilities. So I'm very particular on what I select, but I do push the limit and my goals and kind of say something a little bit crazier. Cause at the end of the day, if I keep thinking about it, I keep seeing it, I might make it work. You know, and I kind of start manifesting it within myself. So I definitely think that if you want to do something, I wouldn't probably suggest to do it last minute, even though those trips are great. If you really have, you know, a schedule you need to stick to, just think about where you really want to go. Where do you think that you can maximize your time and what cultures you want to learn, and the people, kinds of people you want to meet, and just focus on that and just make it happen. Just pre-plan it. Like, I think January is a perfect time to do this.
So like one place you're thinking you advise, like looking at 2022, it'd be like, damn, I really would love to go to like Egypt, right? And then you start visualizing it, writing about it, researching it, and then you put a date to it as well.
Yeah. So what I do put a date to it. I kind of research when's the best time to go. And then if I see that month per se, in my job, let's say if I have a day off because there's a holiday, I'm booking it within the holiday. So instead of taking 5 days off, I'm taking 4. So I play around with the holidays and work around that, because it just makes sense. Like, you're already getting a day off, why not take advantage of it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, there's a certain excitement that comes too whenever I book a flight. You know?
Yeah, and then when you're seeing it on your phone that's like coming up in like, let's say 45 days, you're like,
yeah.
Those 45 days are coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you start telling people, and then you just become a little more joyful inside. And then you start to, it sounds like what you're saying is, it's like, you really just got to want it. And then
you want, yeah.
And yeah. It's not like this, a lot of people wait for this time to come. Traveling can happen. And it's like, everything gets right. But I think that worked when we were like way younger. People would plan for us. Maybe we still have that built in us where we're waiting for somebody to tell us what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the plans that go down like that, we don't like where we're going. So some of it is like taking the initiative and being like, I'm going to go in March to Egypt. It's going.
Yeah. So, so funny enough to that point, it's crazy, because in 2019, at the end of 2019, in November, I had just gotten back from Thailand, and I said, okay, I've done a lot of Asia. I really want to do something so drastically different. Where can I go? And I have this goal in my life that I want to go to all 7 continents. I've made it to 5, so I have 2 left. So that's very exciting.
Let me guess, what the really cold one?
I want to go to Antarctica.
And Africa?
No, I've been to Africa.
Okay.
I want to go to Australia.
Australia.
And in 2019, at the end of when I left Thailand, I had only been to 4. And I said, okay, well, something drastic from the Asian culture is Africa, right? And I said, okay, where have I always wanted to go? What's the culture and the food that I really enjoy? And I decided on Morocco. So from November to February, so February 2020, this is right before the pandemic, yeah. I booked a group tour to Morocco. It was 10 days, leaving February, coming back March, early March. All of a sudden, February hits, and there's talk about this pandemic, this COVID-19 yes. situation, this virus. And I was just like, it's one of those things that I think a lot of people have those moments like, oh, that would never come here. Yeah. Oh, that's just like far away. Oh, that's yeah. oh, you know, you just it's kind of like distance, so you don't see it, you don't experience it.
Yeah.
And then little by little, I started getting a little bit closer to home. And I still had my trip planned. They hadn't canceled it. And I remember my parents being like, I don't know if you should go. And I go, and I said to them, I go, this might be the last time I can go.
Damn.
So I said, it's paid for. I'm not missing this opportunity. I can make it happen. I did book travel insurance, even though no one knew what the pandemic was going to be like or anything like that. So everybody was saying like, don't do it, don't do it. And I said, this might be the last time. And I don't want to have a regret of not being able to reach that fifth continent. Right. Whoa. So at the end of February, I went on my own to Morocco, met some amazing people, and probably one of the best trips I've ever taken. Just the culture, the experiences. It's definitely nothing that you would ever imagine. And I came back refreshed. Knew I couldn't, like, I was just so happy that I came back. I did come back to a pandemic because 2 days later, all yeah. borders were closed.
Yeah.
But I had my 2020 trip. So I didn't not do anything, you know, because everybody yeah. was like, oh, I didn't do anything for 2020. And I was that person. I said, I went to Africa because I did not listen. I'm not saying for people to go and do the same, but I'm saying that I had a goal, I had a vision, and I also was very perceptive of the fact that this could be the last time I could travel.
Yeah.
And since it hadn't gotten so crazy at that time, I was just like, but I did wear a mask, my first time wearing a mask upside down, actually, on the plane. I was the only one on the plane wearing a mask, and I just did it because I just was conscious about it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You said something in your words right there. You said you came back feeling refreshed and renewed. Mm-hmm. I think about myself and others sometimes when we take vacations. You ever heard the expression like I went to vacation but I came back more tired?
Yeah.
Why do you think that happens, and what are we doing wrong?
So that's a great question. So I think it depends on where you go, obviously. If you're going to a resort, there's no need for you to come back tired. but you should feel refreshed. But for instance, like, let's say if you're going to something that's a little bit more adventurous, you know, in Europe, and you're walking all day, every day, you're seeing museums, you're going to restaurants, you're eating way more than you usually do. So that's a big one. So, you know, in general, when you eat big, large meals, you're going to get tired. So imagine 10 days worth of eating what you're not accustomed to.
That's true.
Plus, when you're on vacation, hopefully your brain is disconnected from your real world, which is work, anything else that's going on in your life. So when you're absorbing all of this information, it's like it's flooding in, and your brain is just so used to the same tasks that when you're in a different country and different experiences and having different conversations and trying to figure way, do I go this way? Do I go that way?
Yeah.
It's a different use of your brain. So obviously when you come back, you're going to feel tired, but the tired is just, I think, just physically. But if you sit down and kind of analyze what you just experienced, everything that you do moving forward within your work, within your friendships, your relationships, whatever it may be, it's going to be a refreshed outlook, in my opinion.
Okay. So that's the tired that most people describe is more of, I'm not used to this. This was so different.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But like the actual, there's like an inward renewal that's happening, yeah. even though like outwardly you feel, yeah. oh, mm-hmm. that's good.
That's the way that I see it. That's the way I've analyzed it within, you know, my family and friends. And yeah. I just went to Spain with my mother, and it was a trip. Let me tell you, yeah. I was tired when I got back.
Yeah.
But was I excited? Yes. Did I have new fresh ideas? Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think when you're not thinking of the same thing over and over again, and you're kind of taken out of it,
yeah,
and you're thinking about something else, that's when your better ideas happen. That's when you start.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Creativity comes when we stop creating.
Absolutely.
And people want to keep creating to find the new idea. And it's like, no, stop doing all that.
Mm-hmm.
Creativity is born. Yeah. Yep. That's good. Yeah. That's good.
That's how I see it. So
yeah, and I think there's a point there. You know, when I think about traveling, and I think what a lot of people do too, there's like kind of like this excitement, right? What we were talking about when you get there and like buying the ticket and flying there and like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here. But as somebody who's traveled a lot and done this often, like besides eating, because that's like what we want to do, let's try the food there.
Yeah.
Like, what else do you do when you travel? You know, because it's kind of like you have this massive time, you're in a completely different place. Like the only thing I can think about is that you go to like, I don't know, natural sites, but like what do you do with your time?
No, so that's, I think it depends on where you go, because there's places that obviously have so much history that you know, if you want to hit the main parts, it does take up a lot of your days. So you know, eating is definitely key, because I'm a big foodie, and I think all foods are great foods and everybody should try it no matter what.
Yeah.
But for instance, let's see if I can give you an example. In different places, let's go with Thailand, because Thailand is one of those places that you're just like, okay, do you just like lay on a beach all day? No. So in Thailand, you have the opportunity to kind of immerse yourself with the culture. And so they have things like, yes, it's cooking, but it's like cooking with a family in their home in the middle of nowhere. And they're there with you, cooking with you, teaching you how they cook their Thai food, right? In Morocco, I spent the day with the nomads, literally in the middle of nowhere. When I say like miles and miles and miles and miles and miles of just dirt, a nomad family invited me to their home. We talked, we hung out.
How did you get that connection?
So the thing is that, so with that, you can research those things, and there's tours, if you will, about it. But I go with a group tour always by myself with other like-minded people who also are traveling by themselves.
Got it.
Want to experience different cultures. So aside from just eating and walking around and drinking, or, you know, going to that museum, there are levels of experience that you can have that are a little bit more personal, with like meeting a real family and you just spend the day with them. Like, cooking with a family that you've never met and they're just so happy that you came to their home. I've actually been on trips that I volunteered at places. So it just depends on what kind of trip. For instance, I'm planning right now to go to Ireland with my friends. And our goal is to strap on some hiking boots and just explore the nature. Because we want to, like, we're going to go to Dublin, but we're going to go to other parts. And for us, it's like experience that nature, seeing the beautiful parts of Ireland, but then also staying in a castle because that's fun. Why not? You know, it's just something that you can do. I think it just depends on where you go and what you're into.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, even if you do stick to the national parks or museums, the restaurants, that in itself is different than what you do on your day to day.
Got it.
I'm the tallest building, you know, in Spain. I went up, I don't know how many steps. It was a lot. It was a workout. And we went up and we heard the bells ring. Like, that's cool. You know, like you saw it and you got to see the entire city light up like at night. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's just experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like if you had to describe what's the best way to get the most out of this life, it's hard. And I think that's what most people want though, you know, we all want to drink more deeply of life, like whether it's finding it in drugs or in the case of our family or in church or wherever, like you're trying to drink deeply of life. And so to you, it sounds like traveling does that.
It does.
Experience does that.
Yeah. And it's traveling, but also meeting the people there, people who are from there.
That's what I hear you keep referring to. And it's like, it's not just the location, right? Because you can be a lot of places, very lonely, and you didn't travel at all, and yet you're somewhere extravagant.
Right.
So it's more about like the people you're talking to and those moments.
Those moments, just sharing your story and listening to theirs, all of a sudden you kind of realize that you connect with someone all like from across the world so deeply that you're just like, wow, like, you know, we're human. We're here that's together, good. But we live in completely different places. I'm a person that I will make friends with anybody. So that's me. For people who aren't like that, and I understand there's a lot of people that are, you know, they're scared to go alone. They don't want to talk to strangers, things like that. One thing that I've told my friends and other people that I've talked to throughout my life is, if you want to push yourself, but you're scared, do a group travel. Because just off the bat, the people there are in the same position as you. They're alone. They're from a different part of the world. They don't know anybody. And then you have this, you already form a group. So you're already meeting those people, which then opens you up a little bit to be receptive to other people. And so it's easier to meet a person with two or three people by your side because they're part of your group, right? Versus you just walking up to them and saying, hey, what's up? I can do that because I've done it often, and I've pushed myself into that direction to not be afraid of that. But a lot of people are scared of it. And I think one of the main things is I always say to people, like, you won't know how it will end up being if you don't try. So if you just stick back and not do it, you'll never know if that person that you meet is probably going to change your life, or you're going to change theirs. And that's huge. That's major.
Damn. Kayla, this is really good.
Yeah, it's exciting. I get excited about it, and I just want everybody to do it. I'm like, everybody go, please.
Yeah, because you've seen like the benefits, and again, the obstacles are time and money. But like, we're going through those obstacles by saying, like, you have the whole year, it's January. Plan something that's out of this world, like a place that you'd want to go. Yeah. You have a wand, where would you go? If money wasn't an option, where would you go? That type of mentality.
Yeah.
Then really research how much it's literally going to cost. Because I know for me and others, like in our mind, when you think of like going to Russia, you're going to Russia? That's like $10,000-$20,000, bro. Like, you know, like we have these astronomical numbers surrounding it, but it's like, no, you could actually make it like really, really affordable.
You really can.
You can make it like crazy expensive. So
yeah, it depends on who you are and what you want to do. I, for one, am more on the budget track, because I prefer to pay for the experiences versus exactly where I'm staying. Obviously, I'm not staying in these horrible places, right? Because that can happen. But I do my research. I read a lot of different travel blogs. I look up different things, you know, on Instagram and seeing where people are staying. And then I just kind of give myself a budget, you know, and I'm like, okay, if my flight is costing this and the day-to-day is going to cost me X, like, okay, like let me stick to that and let me make it work. And that's my trip. You know, I definitely pre-plan. I definitely think about it. I definitely think about how much I want to spend, but I also leave enough room that it's what you spend is shouldn't necessarily only be on the flight and the hotels. It should definitely be on the experiences. So don't limit yourself when you're in those places, because that's actually where you should be spending the money when you're actually doing something versus where you're sleeping at night. Obviously, as you grow older, and let's say your career gets bigger, and you know you have a stable income, and you could, and you pre-planned, you saved for it, by all means, go and stay at your 5-star resort. Yeah. Fine, do it. Yeah. Trust me, it's nice. It's great.
Yeah.
But if you really want to fuel your soul, right? don't do it. Go to the place a little bit more rustic, because that's when you're going to meet the realer people. That's when you're going to immerse yourself.
That's good. That's good.
You can do both. It's just all about who you are, how you want to do it, how you want to budget for it. It's doable. Definitely doable. I'm going to tell you right now, I did Thailand. I paid, I think, for the whole week, 10 days that I was there, hotels, meals, and activities, maybe $800, maybe 10 days. Whoa. And then the flight, I used my miles.
Whoa.
And that was me pushing it. That was me being like, oh, I can spend money in Thailand. Okay. Because there you can stay in crazy resorts that are dirt cheap. Like I said, for every dollar, you get 31 of theirs.
Yeah.
A beer, you know, you just go down and buy a Chang beer. It's 15 cents. 15 cents. So dude, people who are scared to like, oh my gosh, I can't go to Thailand. It's going to be crazy expensive. No, book your flight on miles. And if you don't have miles, just book the flight, because that's your bulk of your money. And that's it. You paid for it. You got there. Now enjoy it.
Damn, man.
You can do a whole tour in Thailand that takes you to all of the little islands, and you go snorkeling, kayaking. You see the different little mini islands of where people live and like all that stuff for a whole entire day, free booze on the boat, everything. And from morning to sunset, it's gorgeous. Maybe $30, maybe.
Thailand, dude. I guess the spot for anybody listening, if you want to make that move, because to me, Thailand sounds like, ooh, these beaches, like, oh, like,
yeah.
No. I guess that's why so many of our clothes in the inside say made in Thailand. It must be cheaper there, yeah. Right?
It definitely is. I've always said I've saved money when I go to Thailand. Like, I've legit saved money there.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
But also, you know, I did Morocco for also, I paid for the flight, I think 600, and the trip itself for 10 days, stayed in the Sahara Desert, stayed in Marrakesh, stayed in Fez, went to the Medina. I rode camels, all that fun stuff. And I think I paid $800 maybe. That's it. It's those group trips are the best. I highly suggest people who are scared to do it and think it's going to be a lot of money, do a group trip. You'll love it. You'll be
What's a good website you could throw out, or like an Instagram handle for like the group stuff that people could check out?
So I'm a big fan of Contiki. So Contiki is...
What is it?
Contiki.
Contiki?
Contiki. Okay. And it's basically for people between the ages of 18 to 35. So everyone that you're going to be traveling with is within that range. So that's really cool. Another one is G Adventures. G Adventures is, they have options for everyone. So it can be family oriented. It can be just general group travel. You can also pick if you wanted a younger crowd travel. So Contiki and G Adventures, I think are my main ones. I did do China with one called Affordable World. And I did China for 10 days, and that was great. Loved it. So there's a lot of them. I talk a lot about it on my Instagram. And it's, if you look at some of my stories, like I tag the agency that I work with, but they're out there. It's doable. And if you, like I said, in January, you write that goal, you say, you know, if I can only go one place this year, where is it that I want to go? Make it happen.
Make it freaking happen. Yeah.
Make it happen. Man. Google it.
Google. That's why we have the Google gods for us, you know?
Yes.
Two more questions for you. Two more questions, and then we'll close this up. What are the essentials that you need that you found that, like, when you travel?
Oh, wow. I love this question. Okay. So I wouldn't say it's an essential, but only take a carry-on.
Okay.
Just travel with a carry-on. You can do it. There's no need for you to be traveling with a huge suitcase. Because especially if you really want to see a lot of the place that you're at, dang, you're not going to be wanting to carry your big bag through the cobblestones of Europe, or you don't on a boat, you don't want to be lugging over these huge suitcases getting into the boat. Because some places you're just there and they go, get on that boat, and you just go. And if you
have, so you're taking everything that you brought like on the plane with you wherever you go.
Yes. So the worst thing that
can happen. For 10 days.
Yeah. I did China for 10 days in a carry-on. I've done Thailand in a carry-on. I've done Morocco in a carry-on. I've done Spain in a carry-on. I just came back from Spain and I had outfits galore. Everybody's like, you didn't do that in a carry-on. I was like, yes, it's called smart packing. And just knowing how to do it. So that's my little tip. Just do it, because then you're going to be so, oh, and then if you have little flights in between the countries, they charge you for every single piece of item that you have. So just have one. Don't overdo it, because then all of a sudden that's your budget and you just paid it on a stupid little luggage cost thing. So don't do that. So that's definitely a tip. But the essentials, so if I'm traveling overseas, I always check my cell phone carrier if they have a package for that specific country. Mm-hmm. So for instance, I have AT&T and they have $10 a day internationally, but not all countries offer it for AT&T. So what I like to do is, if you have an old phone, let's say an old BlackBerry or an old iPhone that you just have, I would unlock it and buy a SIM card from that country. So you land in the airport and you buy a SIM card, and then that SIM card, let's say it has, you know, 10 gigabytes, you can use that SIM card as your hotspot. So you can use your phone on Wi-Fi from a hotspot from the phone that you bought with the SIM card. And you're always, you have connectivity anywhere you go. If you're, especially if you're, you know, traveling alone, it's really good to just be able to have a way to communicate with anybody or research anything or look something up. So that's my essential. I always have an extra phone with me to be able to put in a SIM card in.
That's good.
Definitely an essential is those converters. So you always have to take a converter. I always take a notebook, because I always like to write down my experience. Like, I take photos of everything, and like, even though I take the photo of the restaurant that I'm eating, I like to write it down, because for me, when you write it down, it sinks in. So I'm one of those people that if you tell me, oh, where should I eat in this place, I go, oh, I went to this, because it's already in my mind. I wrote it down, it's embedded. I don't want to scroll through my phone and look for the picture that I took. So I like journaling. I like writing down if I meet someone, like different people, I actually write down like their number, like when you were like little and you had to write down their numbers and stuff like that. That's serious. Like, I do that because it's just
like a yearbook, man. Just write it down.
So it's definitely the SIM card, the converter. I take a notebook. I take something that can be waterproof. So a bag that's waterproof at all times. And I also take a towel. This sounds crazy. Anywhere I go, I take this towel. That's one of those that they, when you're wet and you just dry yourself off, it's still dry.
That's good.
So that's, it's something weird, but on my travels, I've learned the hard way that sometimes you need that towel and you don't have it and you're all soaking wet. It's raining. Your feet are wet. It's a disaster. I'm trying to think. I do so little, like such crazy little things. Like, I just pack all of my electronics in a bag. Like, I make sure that that bag is waterproof. Like, I have it all set. And also my travel essential is to have a separate cosmetic bag, not a cosmetic, like a toiletry bag, ready and done. Like, I already have it ready, and I don't take my toothbrush from home. I don't take, it's a separate travel bag that I have ready to go. So I don't have to think about that. And I just have it ready.
Damn.
Because a lot of people get stressed out before a trip. What do I pack? Do I need this? Do I need that? I already have one ready with my little deodorant, my little shampoo, you know, toothbrush, little mini toothpaste, and it's ready to go. And when I get back from that trip, if I have to replace anything, I replace it, but it's out of sight, out of mind. And I don't have to be running around getting anxious before my trip.
That's great. Those are really good essentials and really good tips for people.
Also copy of your passport. Always take a copy of your passport and your ID. Anything that you can make a photocopy of, do it. And then when you leave your hotel, do not take your stuff with you. Put that in a lockbox, hide it somewhere. Only walk around with paper passports.
Damn. All right. Do you check in with embassies when you travel to specific countries?
No, I don't.
Okay. I've done that.
I've never had that thought. That's a good question. No,
I've just always done that. Like, I'll let the U.S. embassy know, like,
Really?
I don't know why I do it. I just,
oh, well, that's
like, hey, like, I want to let you guys know I'm here.
They're like, okay, thanks. So it's half of the other world.
No, it's like an email. Don't worry. I don't call.
Hey. Hey, this is Kayla. I'm just letting you know that I'm going to be here for a few days. So.
My citizen number is.
No, that's a good one, though. I never thought of that. Actually, if you have time, I have a really funny story to tell you.
Yeah, all right. Say that story, and then we'll ask you the last question. Because you can't just drop that and not say the story.
So I know. I have to tell you the story. So I was in Venice 1 year. Okay. This was probably, I want to say already like 7 years ago. I was in Venice, and I was walking down a little street, and I took a picture, right? I took a picture, and it was one way. So I took a picture and I look at the picture and I go, what is that? And I see something on the ground and I look at, and I go, that wasn't there when I walked, but there were some girls walking past me at the same time when I came in, and I walk over and it's a passport, an American passport. And I said, oh no, these poor girls just dropped their passport. Picked it up. And it was this girl, her passport had, she just got her passport. She was 19 years old. Her passport was just like basically 2 days before the trip is when they gave her passport. Like, it was brand new, first trip ever. We didn't have anything but Italy stamped into her passport. And my mission was to find this girl in Venice. I was like, I cannot have this girl running around without her passport. Like, she's probably going to go somewhere else. This is probably like her first Euro trip. She's going to be stuck. Like, and she's 19. She doesn't know what she's going to do. So I went all over Venice, like 007. And I ended up finding this girl. But what I did was scared the crap out of her, because she was walking down and I passed by her and I said her name. And I said, is this you? I go, hey, are you? And she's turns around, her friends turn around. She's like, yeah. And off the bat, I was just like, oh, wow, great. You just like answer any stranger. Cool. And I was like, I go, hey, I need to talk to you because I actually need to see your passport. I'm this other little girl too. Like, I don't look anything. I look young. Like,
yo, you're crazy, Kayla.
And she gets her bag and she starts opening up and scrambling through. She starts taking everything out and she can't find her passport. And she goes to friends. She goes, my passport, it isn't here. And I was like, well, that's a problem because I need to see it. And she's like, I don't know. Where were we? And she starts crying, freaking out. So I pull out the passport out of my bag and I give it to her. And I said, you are so lucky that I found this. Like, lucky. And I go, I can tell that this is your first time here in Venice. I go, do not walk around with your passport. Go and find a copier somewhere and take a photo, take a copy machine of it, and never bring your passport out. Because guess what? Where are you going next? And she's like, Rome. And I go, you wouldn't have been able to go to Rome.
Yeah.
You don't have ID.
Oh my gosh.
You weren't going to be able to do anything. You just ruined your friend's trip. And I made her cry. I felt so bad. But it was like a hard lesson. Like, you have to learn that. And the person I was with at the time was just like, you're brutal. And I was like, no, she's forever is going to remember me. And she's always going to take a photocopy of her passport and not walk around aimlessly. And then also I told her, I go, and second of all, why would you ever give a stranger your passport? Because he was about to give it to me. And so I was like, lesson number two. I was ruthless, but it's fine.
That is so freaking.
She learned. So that's why that's an essential tip.
Yeah. That's an essential tip. That girl will forever remember you. She's going to make her grandkids like get caught.
Oh, yeah.
Passport. It's like.
Yeah, I wish I can contact her.
Yeah, you should have got. That would have been a good notebook girl, you know?
That would have been I know her name and I know where she's from, but I tried to actually find her on Facebook and I couldn't.
That's so good. No, for sure. That's like, I don't think I've ever heard of that, because most people would just like give it back to the embassy or like, I don't know. There's probably. Yeah.
I was on a 007. I thought I was James Bond or something.
Yeah. And Venice isn't that big, but like, yeah.
No, if you make one turn, like you're lost. Like it's.
That's true. Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah. But, yeah.
I was going to give it to the embassy just if I didn't find her.
Yeah.
I gave myself 45 minutes to see if I can find her.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty 007 though.
Yeah.
One more question for you to close up. Your hopes when it comes to traveling, like long term. Like, you have Kayla, you have she's traveled, she's got two more continents. 20 years from now, what kind of relationship do you want to have with traveling? What do you want to have when it comes to this word traveling?
You know what? The first thing that comes to my mind is like no regrets. Like if I look back in 20 years, even as I am right now, I'm pretty impressed. I'm pretty happy. It's one of those things like, you know, I dedicated myself and made it a priority. You know, I look at my mom and my dad, like they wanted to do so much. Right. And they just kept waiting. They're like, it's not the right time. Oh, we've gone to Europe. We don't have to go again. I was like, but what parts of Europe? Like there's other parts, like, you know, and they just kept like pushing things back. And so when someone leaves us and they didn't get that experience, you kind of have those regrets and you're like, oh, I should have done it when we said we were going to do it and didn't do it. And then everybody's like, Kayla, when you get married and you have kids, your life is over. But I don't believe that. I'm a firm believer that you take your kids traveling, you go, even if maybe not the most craziest things, I'm not going to climb Machu Picchu with a kid on my back, but, maybe, yeah, but you know, at least start if 20 years from now, I hope traveling means the same way to whoever I'm with and to my kids to learn that they should just do it when they can and not wait because there's never a perfect time. Just do it. Don't wait for anybody. Just do it. No regrets. Your life is so small. Like it's so short, right? Yeah. But why not explore the world? There is a reason why you're on the world, in the world.
Oh,
that's you're not good. Here just to live in the hometown that you grew up in.
Oh, that's good. I had this vision right now when you're talking about like a boy or a girl, like it has a room in the house, right? Mm-hmm. And they always stay in that room because it's their room. It's like a whole house that they never walk into.
Exactly.
And it's like you can go into the dining room, you can go into the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
living room, there's another guest bedroom, there's a basement, you could stay in your room, it's fine, like, but there's the house that you live in, like you can see it all.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that vision of
that's a great way to put it,
of our home and our world, really.
I love that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to
do it.
That's awesome. Yeah. So that's what I hope. I hope, you know,
awesome.
Anybody in my life will feel the same way. If I can change one person after this podcast to go on a trip.
You already know. To those listening, make a freaking date.
Tommy, I'll help you. I'll give you advice.
Where can people connect with you for travel advice or to follow your journey?
They can connect with me at my Instagram at Kayla Barr. And I also have a website that talks about all of my tips and travel adventures called KaylaBarrTravels.com. So anything there, you can see what I've done in the past and kind of copy it if you want.
Vibe.
Yeah.
Kayla, it's been awesome talking with you, homie.
It's been so great. Now I want to book a trip.
Let's go. Till next time.